Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
This episode is wonderful. It gives me an appreciation for deep space, where I'd like to go since there are so few people.
I would recommend a game called Kerbal Space Program.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Are you not aware of that?
I was not, no.
We're going to talk about that after.
Okay.
Hey, guys. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. We are ad-free and remain ad-free because of your support. We recorded ourselves eating moon waffles.
It was awful.
That's a lot of butter, I'm going to say. I was not sure if the butter would be the worst thing. It was the worst thing. That was a lot of butter. A stick of butter is too much at one time.
It will make you vomit.
I didn't throw up. I did not feel good while I was eating it. I'll say that.
Or
that
afterwards.
Video will be up. Or I actually, a little bit, I took about, you know, after about 20 minutes, I felt fine. It's my iron stomach doing its work. That video will be up, hopefully by the time you hear this. If not, relatively soon, short after. Just have to get everything working on the internet. But we have plenty of good goals in sight. I'm thinking about adding a commentary track pack or something. Maybe like our top 10 episodes and our best episode ever. We could just do them in tens, and as we go along, we could do more and more of them.
That sounds like fun. About, come on, guys. Give us more money so we can do that.
Yeah, that's. I think that I'm gonna put that up there. We have someone new to thank this week, Matthew.
Ooh, a new friend?
A new friend. Obvious. Yes, he is our friend because he helps us do this show. His name is Will D. Thank you, Will. Thank you very much.
Will, you are obviously a very handsome and wonderful person.
And you can also help. You can also have your name on the show just by giving us $2 a month and get access to all our bonus content. If you'd like to help the show in another different way, you can go to iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Subscribe, give us a 5-star review. It helps us out a lot. If you do not know what to say, simply say this. A new year. A new year of wonderful podcasts from The Simpsons Show.
That's good. I like it. It's very succinct.
Yeah. Brevity is the soul of wit. All right. This week's episode is...
I'm being brief there.
Brief, I believe, includes something, Matt.
No.
This week's episode is Deep Space Homer, episode 1F13, originally aired February 24th, 1994, written by David Merkin. The only official credit for David Merkin, who was a producer, showrunner, you know, did lots of, obviously, probably helped write many shows, but this is the one he was actually giving credit for. Directed by Carlos Baeza. Finished 32nd in the ratings for that week. Nielsen rating of 11.1, approximately 10.3 million viewing households. Highest rated show on Fox that week, beating out Living Single.
Which is pretty
good. Remember Living Single?
I do. It wasn't the worst show. It was just a little weird.
Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
Couch gag is there is a gigantic man already sitting on the couch, and the family squeezes in to the side. I believe they've already used this one once.
Yeah, nothing special there.
No, then this is the time of the seasons. Like, when they were getting to the teens, they would start reusing couch gags. No chalkboard gag. Episode guest stars, both Buzz Aldrin and James Taylor as themselves.
Who do a fantastic job.
Yeah, they're both great. Episode begins with the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant's Worker of the Week Award Ceremony, where all the workers are forced to drudge to it soullessly. I forget the exact verb or adverb they use there.
Let's see. I think soullessly. That sounds right.
This sounds right. Don't quote me on it. But Homer, everyone is not excited except for Homer.
I hate these Worker of the Week award ceremonies.
Who even cares anymore? Everyone that works here has already got one.
Except for...
Hello. Well, today's the day for Homer J. I know I'm going to win this time.
Yeah, how come?
Union Rule 26. Every employee must win Worker of the Week at least once, regardless of gross incompetence, obesity, or rank odor.
That's a lot of disqualifications that they can avoid there.
I think all three of those work perfectly for Homer. But this kind of basically sets the stage for this episode. Homer does not win. The inanimate carbon rod takes the Worker of the Week award for that week. And it kind of sets the stage for this whole episode. He wants respect. Homer wants to be treated, you know, like a hero. So, you know, he wants to feel special, wants to feel important.
Stupid carbon rod. It's all just a popularity contest.
Wow, did you actually get to see the rod?
I'm sorry, homie.
Nobody respects me at work.
Well, we respect you. Bart, I told you, don't draw on your father's skull.
Bart, what does it say? I want to see.
Nothing like a Three Stooges ripoff.
Yeah, Bart writes in Sharpie on the back of Homer's head, insert brain here, which they call back to later on in the episode. It's his family doesn't really respect him. His work doesn't respect him. And we are then introduced to the other part of this equation in this episode, which is NASA. And with Homer is, it's a weird thing. Homer is, watching television and switches to NASA. What is this? Was this on public television or did they have their own channel that broadcast? I forget.
I think most of NASA launches in the 90s were broadcast on CBS or ABC or something like that. Something that everybody gets.
I always thought it was PBS because for something that is inherently exciting, they're launching rockets.
The problem is it just takes so dang long.
Maybe invest more in your television presentation. Maybe get more people excited about NASA and
space. They should just steal some StarCraft shoutcasters. That'll totally be cool. Like, oh yeah, this is great. Watch, there's the guy. He's gonna load the thing. Woo!
Why not? I mean, honestly, they should. poor NASA. But we're gonna get a lot of NASA jokes in this one, and this is the first of many. Homer watching NASA TV.
The lion's share of this flight will be devoted to the study of the effects of weightlessness on tiny screws.
Unbelievable. And just imagine the logistics of weightlessness. And of course, this could have literally millions of applications here on Earth. And everything from watchmaking to watch repair.
Boring! Oh, no! The batteries!
Now let's look at the crew a little.
They're a colorful bunch. They've been dubbed the Three Musketeers.
And we laugh legitimately. There's a mathematician, a different kind of mathematician, and a statistician.
Make it stop!
No, not another boring space launch. Change the channel! Change the channel!
I can't!
It's really the music that gets you there at the end. It makes it seem like, oh no, will they be able to escape this horrible fate of watching a space launch?
That is one of our NASA's greatest failures, is making space travel making space travel boring.
Yeah, like, that's really hard to do.
But we cut to NASA. They are very worried because their TV ratings are down.
That's true. All that stuff you see in the movies, that's not for actually controlling anything involved with the launch. It's all for measuring TV ratings. So that's a big investment.
And they're doing very poorly. And they have a meeting about it. They show what is most popular on television at the time. We get a clip of their version, the Simpsons version of Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. It's going to be one of our side projects, right, Matt? A home improvement podcast?
Maybe someday, but only like the first 5 or 6 seasons. After that, it just got stupid.
No, the weird late seasons are the best ones.
No, they're not. They're so awful.
They're weird. They don't make
any
sense.
They really are.
and they're depressing because
everybody gets old.
They also see Al Bundy, which Married with Children.
And a toilet in his living room for some reason.
I still like that. I enjoyed that clip. I'd be one of those people cheering in the background.
Of course you would.
Yeah. And so NASA, this episode is written kind of in, I don't know, after they sent all those teachers up in the shuttles. Mm-hmm. And this episode is written in that in mind, like, oh, well, maybe they would just go a little bit further and send like a blue collar Joe up there. And so that is what NASA decides to do. But how are they going to get a hold of one of these people? And then Homer
couldn't
calls
just
them.
Go outside and be like, "Hey, you want to go into space? Yeah, why not?" Or, hey, guy cleaning the toilets, do you want to be an astronaut? No, they have to go for Homer.
Well, Homer calls them and then and insults them for no apparent reason. They hear him flush the toilet in the background, I believe, is what clinches it. They track him down. He is in Moe's, and he is on the phone with someone else who's also a very important gentleman.
Oh, is this President Clinton? Good. I figured if anyone knew where to get some tang, it'd be you. Shut up!
Excuse me. Are you the person that called NASA yesterday?
No, it wasn't me, I swear. It was him!
Sir, how would you like to get higher than you've ever been in your life?
Be an astronaut? Sure!
Well, welcome aboard. I think you'll find that this will win you the respect of your family and friends.
Respect? No! It was me! I made the crank call! I do it all the time! Check with the FBI! I have a file! I have a file!
Hey, better take both of them. I don't really think that was necessary. They wanted to be astronauts.
I know.
It's just easier to move unconscious bodies, really.
No, it's not. Not when they're Homer and Barney's size. It's
well, maybe they
weight.
Brought some soldiers with them to do some lifting.
NASA's not a military organization, Matt.
That's true, but I'm sure they could borrow some. Springfield has a military base. If they show up and flash a NASA badge, I'm pretty sure they'll be like, I need some guys to lift some corpses. I mean unconscious people. I'm pretty sure they need some help.
One of the scientists, blackjacks both Homer and Barney, and then we go to commercial. It's a relatively short act one.
That's true.
And two for that matter.
And when we come back, we see that NASA has a press conference where they introduce the average American who is going to be their newest astronaut.
Ladies and gentlemen and members of the press, I'd like to present the new generation of NASA astronaut, the average American.
Jim Wallace, Associated Press. Is this a joke?
Well, far from it, Jim. One of these men will prove space travel is within the reach of the common man.
Toby Hunter, Minneapolis Star. No, really, is this a joke?
No, Toby. And no more questions about whether this is a joke.
It's actually pretty funny because within a decade of this, the Russian space program was essentially taking tourists up to the International Space Station. So, yeah, average people can be astronauts as long as everyone else does all the work for them.
Yeah, you just have to be in relatively good health and be able to withstand some G's. I have a feeling if they did that today, this would actually be, people would eat it right up.
Oh, yeah, this would be huge reality television.
Like, there you go.
Like reverse cops.
I think we just saved NASA, Matt. All right. NASA's
doing pretty well on its own.
I don't know. They
definitely need more money, but they got more money in the budget than they even asked for this year. So that's a good step.
Okay. Science is important. But NASA reality show.
That would probably make them a lot of money, and I feel like they really should try for that. But they're stuffy up at NASA. They're not cool. They're not hip and with it.
I don't even want to start about talking about what it is, Matt.
I know. We're old, too. But anyway, someone asked Homer a question asking if he thinks that it's danger to send unqualified civilians into space. And Homer, of course, responds that only if it's the planet of the apes, which he takes that exact moment to realize was Earth. And he then goes on a tirade about them blowing it up, and the press conference is quickly called to a close.
Well, and Barney passes out drunk.
Oh, that's right.
Well.
He drinks a beer and completely just falls down drunk.
And they have to pull his body behind the curtain.
But the next day, Homer and Barney go in for their training, where they inform Barney that there'll be no more beer. And, of course, he is a little distraught at this and thinks, oh, no, six whole weeks with only wine? That's just the worst. But unfortunately for Barney, not even wine, because they're making him go alcohol-free. Homer takes this opportunity to inform them that Barney has a drinking problem, as if they hadn't already noticed that, and that he will tell them more if they meet him up in a tree, which I really hope they don't, because a tree is not a good place to discuss important things like that. But when Homer goes home that night after their first day of training, he has an interesting conversation with the family.
Wow, my father, an astronaut. I feel so full of... What's the opposite of shame?
Pride?
No, not that far from shame.
Less shame?
Yeah.
So there we go. Bart feels less shame. I'm sure that's a huge step up from where he normally is.
Small steps.
Baby small steps. Marge goes on to explain her litany of feelings, which involves apprehension and a little bit sleepy. But eventually she comes around to realizing that being an astronaut is just something that Homer has to do. I guess Marge is a very feelings-oriented person, so that makes sense. The next day, when Homer goes into some more training, he realizes that, when Barney stops drinking, he's really great at pretty much everything.
Hi, Homer.
He is superhuman.
Since I made me stop drinking, exactly. I've regained my balance and diction. Observe. I am the very model of a modern major general. I'm information, vegetable, animal, and mineral.
Oh, that's nothing. What's this? There once was a man from Nantucket. Oh! Ooh!
By the way, Robbie, that right there, that's what you were supposed to say.
Really? Uh-huh. That thing that he says in like 6 seconds, I'm supposed to know exactly.
Oh, come on. And it's everywhere.
And apparently, vegetable is supposed to have 4 syllables in the song.
Well, yeah, but yeah.
Vegetable. That's in the original song. It's 4 syllable vegetable, right. Not 3 syllable vegetable.
Whatever. When you say it, it's not as bad. Anyway, then we see a training montage of them going through, you know, various NASA tasks, blowing into a tube to test their lung capacity, going around the what's it called when they go around and test the G's?
The whirligig.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to think of. Thank you, Robbie.
You're welcome. I'm glad I can contribute.
Yeah, well, you can contribute by telling me what the whole deal with Matt Groening hating the Popeye gag.
Oh, he hates that, and I don't know. I think he just thinks it's very cartoonish.
Yeah.
And so he didn't like it. Apparently one of his least favorite gags in the history of the show. Also, later on, when Homer also does the Nixon, when he turns into Nixon very briefly.
Yeah, apparently somebody on the staff really enjoyed turning Homer into other people thanks to the effects of gravity, which I don't think that's how that works.
It's a fine gag. I don't mind it. But apparently Matt Groening did not enjoy it whatsoever.
Oh, well. But we also see them fighting in an arena, which I'm pretty sure is based on an old Star Trek episode where they're wagering
spot
lose.
It is in a Star Trek episode. It was also featured in The Cable Guy.
Oh, yes. I need to watch that. That was a great movie. Go watch The Cable Guy when you're done listening to us, guys.
I have a feeling. Cable Guy's fine. I don't know.
It's not the best Jim Carrey movie, but it's better than, what was it, Number 23, Room 23, something like that?
That's a drama. It's not the same.
Fair enough. Anyway, but after they get done in the arena, they're cleaning up and they meet the two experienced astronauts that are going with them. Race Banyan, who is from the Johnny Quest cartoons, and Buzz Aldrin.
Well, it's Race Bannon in Johnny Quest.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's totally a different thing, Robbie. Mm-hmm.
It's a whole letter different.
Uh-huh.
Obviously.
But Buzz Aldrin, immediately after he's introduced, says second comes right after first. And everyone immediately discounts him, despite Buzz Aldrin being an awesome, awesome person and punching out somebody who claimed that he faked the moon landing. Which, honestly, if anything else, that made him a great person to me.
Apparently the writers were afraid that he would find that line offensive to him.
But well, thankfully he did not.
He's been on the moon. I mean,
I don't think there's anything an entertainment person could do to him where you're just like, I've been on the moon. Screw you.
That's like, did you ever, who was that? Was that Brian Regan? Yeah, that was a Brian Regan bit where you imagine you're at a dinner party with Neil Armstrong and everyone's telling, you know, their anecdotes and stories. And then Neil Armstrong's like, yeah, you know, there was this time I went to the moon. Like, it kind of, any person who's been to the moon, you kind of just basically win.
I went to Everest and I climbed it. Yeah, it was no big deal. Yeah, well, I went to the moon.
One of those situations. It's further away.
But luckily, Buzz Aldrin is a great guy. There's a great gag here where Homer assumes there'll be a swimsuit competition to round out the contest. Tests, I guess. Yeah, contest. There you go. But unfortunately, there is no swimsuit competition, and Homer waxed his bikini zone for nothing. Poor Homer. That must have hurt like hell.
Ugh.
But they show up the next morning where Barney is just exercising for fun, which is what crazy people do. And then they announce the winner.
Gentlemen, you've both worked very hard, and in a way, you're both winners. But in another more accurate way, Barney is the winner.
That is one of my favorite phrases of all time. In a more accurate way, Barney is the winner.
In more accurate way.
But unfortunately, well, fortunately for everyone, Homer is very gracious, surprisingly so for Homer. And then they celebrate with some non-alcoholic champagne, which unfortunately causes Barney to go insane. And he runs off, steals a jetpack, attempts to fly away, but jetpacks only have about 30 seconds worth of fuel, actually less. He then lands on the hard metal roof of a pillow factory, falls to the ground, and gets run over by a marshmallow truck. Which is fantastic.
It's a great gag.
It's the Luke Perry thing all over again.
It is. The marshmallow truck is. I love it. It's so good.
Yeah. But of course, this means that Homer wins by default.
Well, Homer, I guess you're the winner by default.
Default! Woohoo! The two sweetest words in the English language. Default! Default! Default!
Where'd you get that anyway?
Sent away.
So apparently people at NASA just love to send away for brutal instruments of pain.
That sounds about right. But those are the two greatest words in the English language, man.
Yeah.
D and fault.
Oh, yeah. The greatest word, two words. I don't know what a D is, but just going to leave that one lying there, huh? Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that, we go to commercial.
Yes, and when we come back, we have a rather substantial Act 3. It begins with Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, which is called Star Trek The Next Laceration.
Great name.
Yeah, it basically shows Itchy and Scratchy in space, and brutality ensues. Homer, Bart and Lisa think it's hilarious, as always, and Homer is absolutely terrified, although I don't feel like any of the situations present in the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon would be anything he'd have to be concerned with.
Yeah.
Most probably think so, but space launches have nothing to do with like people getting cut in half by the rings of Saturn.
True, but it's Homer. He probably doesn't know that.
Oh, that's true. But we cut to the launch where it's a long homage to The Right Stuff with Race, Buzz, and Homer walking in slow motion in their suits up to the rocket, in which Homer immediately chickens out and runs away and calls Marge from a gas station.
Marge, I don't really want to go through with this, but being an astronaut is how I got you to respect me.
Homer, when I met you, you weren't an astronaut. You didn't even know how to use a touchtone. But I still respected you, and I always will, no matter what. Homer, you already dialed. But on the other hand, when you don't take advantage of an opportunity, you can end up regretting it for the rest of your life.
You're right, Marge. Just like the time I could have met Mr. T at the mall. The entire day I kept saying, I'll go a little later. I'll go a little later. And then when I got there, they told me he just left. And when I asked the mall guy if he would ever come back again, he said he didn't know. Well, I'm never going to let something like that happen again. I'm going into space right now.
Oh, I am so proud of you. And I know it's going to go just fine.
That clip encapsulates their relationship so well.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, I know you're really stupid, but you'll be all right.
Yeah, and it shows that Homer needs Marge. He can't do this by himself. She pumps him up. She gives him the confidence he needs to do this. He, I guess, goes back to the rocket. And we learn that it is called the Corvair, Space Shuttle Corvair, which is one of the most unsafe cars in history.
Yep.
Ralph Nader addressed this book. He talked about it in a book called Unsafe at Any Speed. About the Corvair. Yeah. Tells you anything you need to know about that. Homer is thirsty before the rocket launches, which that's a really subtle gag because Race microphones in to the HQ and asks if they can
sedate cargo ahead of schedule.
Sedate the cargo ahead of schedule, which knock Homer out, but they can't. They don't. The shuttle launches, which they say make rocket go now. I'm not sure if that's official NASA. Terminology.
If you have to describe things in the 100 most used words, that's how you would say it.
Is that how we're speaking now? We go with the easiest ones.
Well, yeah, of course. If you're gonna write for Randall Monroe's new book,
wouldn't it be make thing go now? then they'd be better than Make Rocket.
Well, you're probably right. Rocket's probably not in the top 100 words, so close enough.
Make Thing Go Now. But Homer turns in Nixon very briefly because of the force of G's, which, again, Matt Groening really hates. But they get into orbit. And the one of the most recognizable, pretty much, sequences in Simpsons history happens. Homer reveals that he has smuggled some potato chips aboard and rips open the bag to, and then, of course, the potato chips fly everywhere. And,
as they do in zero G.
They are in zero G, which that is, it's hard to think about, but 1994, like, that is excellently animated. Like,
that's true. Well, the Simpsons animation has always been pretty good, especially, you know, in the last couple of seasons and going forward from there.
It's just, but, like, the perspective on the potato chips and, like, Homer's rotating in zero G. Apparently they use some, like, Amiga, like, sequencing, like, or something to model, like, the animation to make it more authentic. And it shows. It still holds up. It does not look weird at all in this era of where 3D animation is, you know, omnipresent. They use, you know, traditional animation to make it look really good. And one of many 2001 references in this episode, Homer soars beautifully through the space shuttle to eat the potato chips. Unfortunately, he lets the ants out of their enclosure.
Oh no.
You're the queen. And the ants are released. We have James Taylor singing the whole time, which is a great bit. I didn't want to just capture James Taylor singing James Taylor songs, but they're great. He also has some really great lines about not being as laid back as people think he is. but we also get first the potato chips, and then I don't know, maybe one of the it's certainly one of the top Simpsons memes. I don't know about total Simpsons references, but it's up there.
We're just about to get our first pictures from inside the spacecraft with Average Not Homer Simpson. And we'd like to... Ladies and gentlemen, we've just lost the picture, but what we've seen speaks for itself. The Corvair spacecraft has apparently been taken over, conquered, if you will, by a master race of giant space ants. It's difficult to tell from this vantage point whether they will consume the captive Earthman or merely enslave them. One thing is for certain, there is no stopping them. The ants will soon be here. And I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords. I'd like to remind them that as a trusted TV personality, I can be helpful in rounding up others to toil in their underground sugar caves.
Don't worry, kids. I'm sure your father's all right.
What are you basing that on, Mom?
Who wants ginger snaps?
I do. Ginger snaps are delicious.
Ginger snaps are good. I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords.
Hail ants.
Hail ants. It's terrific. So much stuff in this episode just really, I don't know, perfectly nails the tone.
Oh, yeah.
Especially of the newsman.
Well, yeah, that is, there's so many parts of this episode that become infinitely quotable. I think I remember more things from this episode than many, many other, probably better episodes, just because it's so quippy, essentially.
Yeah, and when they have NASA worrying about television ratings, or Kent Brockman jumping immediately to the worst and least accurate conclusion, it really, I mean... That is not, it could not be more appropriate for modern news, honestly. Mm-hmm. But James Taylor makes a recommendation. He and Art Garfunkel apparently made a vacuum in his vineyard
Of the house. I'm not quite sure how they did that, but that also would have taken pretty much everything inside the house with it. So it must have been a hell of a cleanup.
They sucked out all the ants. And a really clever little tiny line in this is that one of the NASA scientist guys is like, yes, this unkempt youngster. They're talking about James Taylor as an unkempt youngster.
Well, I'm sure that was true in the 70s the NASA people
I guess that's fair. Let me see. James Taylor in 1994 was born in 1948. What's the math in that? Let's see. He's 46 years old.
So to the people at NASA, I'm sure he was an unkempt youngster.
Unkempt youngster James Taylor, 46 years old. And they, but the the astronauts use his advice and decide to pop the hatch, which I don't think that's ever the best idea when you're out in space.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure they have other emergency protocols.
Yeah, they probably do. But they pop the hatch and they get the ants and potato chips sucked out into space. And Homer holds on for about 6 seconds, and then before they can repressurize the cabin, he lets go and is immediately pulled out into space. Managed to grab onto the handle of the door where he's pulled back in, but because he has deformed the handle of the door, it cannot latch properly anymore. And Race Banyan. How could I make that mistake?
They're totally different, Robbie. I don't know so how you could have done that.
I don't either. But Homer, wants to beat up Homer.
With that hatch open, we'll burn up on re-entry. That's it. If I go, I'm taking you to hell with me.
Wait a minute, Race. Wait a minute. Wait. Aha! Now I'll bust that pretty face of yours. Stupid bar.
Wait, Homer. If that bar holds, we just might make it back to Earth.
Hmm. I'll bash you. Good God!
Homer. I always love it when those fights break out and Homer's just like, just this angry frustration.
All he has is his anger. In any other society, Homer would be some kind of barbarian warrior, but not in ours.
I like that, man. That's good. Kent apologizes. Kent Brockman apologizes and takes down the Hail Ants sign. but basically cuts away from them making a reentry where they don't know if they're going to live or die. The shuttle reenters the Earth's atmosphere, and both Race and Buzz are humming the Star Spangled Banner. Correct.
Yes. Not Star Spangled Banner.
Is it which? What is it?
Oh man.
No, it's Battle Hymn of the Republic.
That's the one. Yep.
Battle Hymn of the Republic, and Homer is humming the Golden Grahams jingle,
which is a deep cut because I don't remember that jingle at all.
Those Golden Grahams, I remember vaguely from my childhood. Lisa is afraid for Homer's safety. Grandpa assures her it'll be okay because it is television. Everything, they'll make it. It's TV, which, a nice little meta joke there.
Like, which is true, but
Of course they're gonna make it. But, they crash land. Where, what did they land in the, a news convention or something?
Yes.
What
is it called? A newsman's convention.
A newsman. Was it Buzz declares Homer a hero, but the press has a different idea, and again awards all the congratulations to the inanimate carbon rod that held the door shut.
Which is really the real hero of the episode.
Obviously the carbon rod is the hero. I do like that little misdirect where, because they don't call it that in the shuttle, you know, they right. just call it a bar, and yeah. I've always enjoyed that because it really is a genuine, like, Homer, man.
By the way, carbon rods are not that strong, and that would definitely not be what you'd want to use for that door.
That's very true. Maybe it's a very dense carbon rod.
Maybe.
But we cut back to Homer at home, where the family thinks he is a hero, despite what the news says.
Stupid rod. I got gypped.
Oh, homie, you should be proud. Only a handful of people have done what you've done.
Yeah, Dad. How many people have seen the ice caps and the deserts all at once? Or the majesty of the northern lights from 100 miles above?
Yeah, maybe I do have the right. What's that stuff? Anyway, thanks, Marge. Lisa.
Bart, do you have something nice to say to your father?
He knows how I feel.
That is Bart. That Sharpie squeaking is Bart writing hero on the back of Homer's skull, which is a strange way to show how you feel about your father.
Well, Bart's never been that emotionally mature, so it's probably the best he could do.
That's probably fair. We end the episode with another 2001 reference. We have a little Homer, a little, I never know what to call that thing. I know that in 2001 has a specific name for, you know, whatever.
Just called it Space Baby.
Yeah, it's a space baby, but you know, it has metaphors and stuff about, you know, the evolution of man and whatever. But it's Homer, and he gets hit in the head with a Fox satellite.
Yeah.
And that's how the episode ends. Great episode, Matt. Holds
it
up.
It really is. Although I don't really think that last bit was necessary, and they could have snuck in a chalkboard gag, but eh, whatever.
They really like 2001. I think they wanted more 2001 stuff in there. But I mean, this has always been one of my favorites. I've always really enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite, you know, weird Homer job episodes. It has tons of great references and quotes, and just, I mean, it's a classic.
Yeah, it's one of those ones people who don't watch The Simpsons like we do would definitely know.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's, you go, oh, you know, the one, The Simpsons where Homer goes to space. They're like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, everyone knows it. We'll rank it at the end of the show. It's probably going to do pretty good.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Got that Southern drawl going in there like the Nassau boys.
Nassau. That's the weirdest thing to me, that he says Nassau the whole time. Maybe. No submissions to this for my favorite episode. If you have a certain episode that is your favorite, please send it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com about why it is your favorite. I will read it on air when we get to it. Next up, comments from the news group. Where are you, Clip?
I'm actually really interested in what they say about the Simpsons.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
There we are. The comments from the news group is where I comb the old alt.tvs.simpsons news group, you know, around the time the episode came out, see what people were talking about on the proto-internet. They were generally positive about this one, Matt.
Wow, they actually liked a good episode? Weird.
I don't know. I mean, most people were good to great on this one. Some people really, really liked it. Other people thought it was good, but nothing. You know, they gave B's and A's, I saw. You know, a lot of people giving report card grades on these things. Not a bunch else happening there. People talking about the critic still, wanted critic references. Apparently AOL went crazy and posted a bunch of, like, repeatedly posted news articles to Usenet, like thousands and thousands and thousands of them. So it clogged up a lot of the old news groups, I guess.
Clogged up those bits.
Yeah, I don't know. But there wasn't much else, not much off-topic stuff that was relevant. But they liked it. They liked it.
Good for them. Which, they got something right.
They should. I wish there's more, but there's not much there this week. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for a listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what episode would make the best movie? What episode has the best premise for a movie? Tons of great answers, as always. From Scott at Pure Cromulence, we have, the two Mrs. Nahasapima Petalons has all the elements of a great romantic comedy. That's true. Brian, Itchy and Scratchy Lemon made a great full-length movie, has lots of action and excitement, and the Simpsons writers proved they had plenty of jokes still to make about amusement parks. Only reservation is that since it takes place away from Springfield, we wouldn't get many Springfield residents in it. My solution to that would have you make, okay, Itchy and Scratchy Land, like, failed, right? Ooh. At the end of that episode, correct? You build a new one in Springfield and have multiple people from Springfield be working there or visiting, so you could have, or you could have them escape from the park and infiltrate Springfield.
That sounds fantastic. I really want that movie now.
Yeah, they might do it. Brandon, Lisa, they kind of classed. It was a great episode, and I'm a history nerd, even if it's Simpsons history, and love to see the backstory development go even further, like with the fight with Washington and the flute, and more about the Sprungfeld pirate days. Also, like to see a Simpsons Halloween movie, no particular bit, just a full-length single storyline movie.
Ooh.
Just be a... I don't know.
That'd be hard.
It would be hard because it would not be similar to the Trails of Horror episodes, because they can get away with a little tiny, like, 8-minute bit. You know, with a movie, right? They'd have to, unless they decided just to do a bunch of those, they would have to do, it would, I think it would be tricky, because they'd have to do one storyline and just basically be a horror comedy. I mean, I think they could do it, but I don't know. I'm sure it'd be popular. Everyone loves Treehouse of Horrors. From Dan, from the classic era, 22 short stories about Springfield. Yeah, well, yeah, it would work. And from the post-classic era, the seemingly never-ending story. Alex, Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson in The Curse of the Flying Hellfish. I think that is a particularly good answer. I think that there's a lot of, you can do a lot of flashbacks and stuff. You can flesh out the World War II stuff in there and maybe have more story development between Bart and Grandpa. Daniel, his answer, no question, you only move twice. The only thing wrong with this episode, the only thing, is that when it ends, I'm incredibly sad because I feel like there's still so much more that could have been done with the setting of Cypress Creek and the character of Hank Scorpio. Yes. Nick, Homer the Great would be awesome. You could use the We Do song for showing backstories of what they talked about in the song. I think there is a lot of, you know, you could have an entire plot line about, you know, their, you know, you could flesh out, pull out, you know, maybe add some conspiracy in there about the Stonecutters and all that stuff. And finally, Graham, Cape Fear is a pretty easy one. Could have been easily expanded into a movie with an epic 20-minute rake scene. I don't know if the rake scene, 20 minutes, I don't know. You could do that for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But still, you could, since, I mean, the Cape Fear of the movie works, and it's very similar, you know, you could do that. With a Sideshow Bob would be a great character for a movie. I feel
that's
like
true.
Having a Sideshow Bob episode, but make it a movie, and I don't maybe just kill him at the end or
ooh,
something.
I don't know. That'd be crazy. Killing a character in The Simpsons to never come back.
Well, they could just bring him back, and that'd be the thing. Matt, what is your answer? I'm curious.
Well, it's interesting that I think it was Alex picked Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson, because I actually wanted to go with The Secret War of Lisa Simpson, where Bart and Lisa go to military school. I really enjoyed that one, and I feel like with Camp Krusty was originally being intended to be the first movie with Marge and Homer at home and living their lives without the kids, and Bart and Lisa, you know, at military. That's actually a really good way to have a movie, because you get a lot of time to focus on all the characters. And, you know, I like the kids more than the adults in The Simpsons. So having more time to worry about them, plus it's kind of a Lisa episode, but you get a healthy dose of Bart and them working together at the same time. That could definitely be expanded into a full movie, I think.
Yeah, I agree. That would also, there's a lot of episodes where you think like they could do a lot with it. My episode is the same as Daniel's, is You Only Move Twice. I feel like Hank Scorpio is amazing, and I feel like I think that is the only problem with it, similarly to Itchy and Scratchy Land, is that it's not, you know, it doesn't take place in Springfield, so you don't get many of the supporting characters. But I have a feeling like you could easily have Hank Scorpio, he is a James Bond villain, have him take over Springfield, have Cypress Creek, like, and try and force the what they do in Cypress Creek on a Springfield, or
that would be great.
You know, there's a lot of ways you could go with it, but I mean, just having Hank Scorpio around is incredibly interesting to me. So, I mean, you could go a myriad of ways with that, but Hank Scorpio is so good. I can't pass up, like, if I had the choice, like, immediately I go, we want you back, Howard Brooks. We want Hank Scorpio. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Next week's question. It's a many great answers for this one. What is your favorite Homer quote?
Ooh, I am so smart. SMRT.
No, man, you can't answer now.
Oh, man.
You have to wait till next week. But yes, I will post this question all our social media places, on Twitter at SimpsonShowPod, on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSimpsonShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonShowPod@gmail.com. Links to all that stuff is on our website, and please find us, follow us, like us, all those things helps us out. And you know, we have tons of listeners who really participate and interact with us, and it's a lot of fun. Really, I really like it.
Bojo.
Next up, Matt, is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each try and stump the other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, and one hard. This season, for season 5, we have some stakes. We have a wager. Whoever loses by our scoring system at the end of the season will have to drink something we are calling a mulk shake. It's going to have tons of Simpsons food items blended together into some sort of a emulsification.
It's going to be awful.
I'm guessing it'll be better than those. I think it'll be easier to go down than the moon waffles, honestly.
Except for the beer, probably. There was no beer in it, but
The taste is not. I'm not worried about the taste. The taste
you might
is nothing.
Not
it's the texture that's like it. Like you have to anything you have to chew. That's tricky.
Yeah. That would
like
be really, we'll get a food processor. There would be no chewing involved.
No, I don't want to chew this. No, it has to be a true, like, shake. It may be thick, but it'll be a liquid. But I think just to be able to, like, drink it quickly, who cares if it tastes bad? Like, you know, we're going to put some cough syrup in there. We're going to put, obviously, a donut, a Duff beer, some slices of American cheese, I think an onion ring for Homer and Marge's engagement ring. You know, various things that we have a... I don't know. I might, in the last few weeks, I may put up polls, places, and see what people really want. Oh, some of them are very obvious. Okay, Matt, give me an easy question.
All right, sir. Your easy question. What color is the Simpsons cat?
Ha ha ha. Black.
Ah, you are correct.
Snowball 2, black. Snowball 1 was white.
Snowball 1 was white. Snowball 2 was black. Snowballs 3 through, I think it was
many.
5 or 36 are various. And then Snowball 7 was black again.
You mean just Snowball?
Yes, Snowball 2. Yes. Snowball 2 part 2.
Exactly. These all I have a theme, Matt. Oh. I all my questions are from taken from the episode That 90s Show.
Oh crap.
Which I wrote about for our Patreon this past week about how that episode is a disaster.
Well, that is true.
Your easy question. What is the name of Homer's grunge band?
I believe it's Sadgasm.
That is correct. That is correct.
All right, you ready for your medium question?
I am ready.
What is the TV show that Homer goes on to clear his name in Homer Badman?
Forget if it's one that's been of war. I know it has Willie on there, too. There's the peeping. Oh.
You mean Rowdy Roddy Peeper?
Yeah, that's it. Is it Hardline? That's my best guess.
No, that's the real one, so I'll give you another chance.
That's the real one? That's actually a show?
I'm pretty sure Hardline is a real show.
Oh, wow, okay. I don't know. Smartline? I don't know what they're doing.
No, it is Rock Bottom.
Oh, God. I should have known that. Okay, Matt. In That 90s Show, Homer becomes addicted to what?
Oh,
I need precise answer to this one.
I believe it's insulin for his diabetes. You're looking for that, or what caused the diabetes?
Are you addicted to insulin if you have diabetes, Matt?
Technically, yes.
No, you're not. You need it to live, but you're not addicted.
He was drinking frappuccinos?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You're right!
Oh, phew! Oh, man. I need to go watch this episode again.
No, you really don't.
Oh,
you
come really on. It's not that bad.
Yes, it is. It's not good. Okay, that's not a good episode. It's top, bottom five for me.
Wow.
Give me a hard question.
All right. Your hard question. This is pretty tough. Who did the voice of Hugh Parkfield in Lisa's Wedding?
Hugh Parkfield. Is it Hugh Grant?
It is not. It is Mandy Patinkin.
Oh, I think I've actually asked you that one before.
You've asked me something about Mandy Patinkin before.
He's
done actually several voices.
Mandy Patinkin. Oh, he's a treasure.
He really is.
Your hard question, Matt. In That 90s Show, what is the name of Marge's love interest?
Oh, it's her professor of... I don't even remember the class. I have no clue. Nothing, even the littlest bit, is coming to mind.
Professor August.
August, of course.
Stefan, I think Stefan August, voiced by Hank Azaria. He's very obnoxious. But that's it. Let me see. Where's our tally? I did terrible.
Sorry, I figured that was easy, but apparently I was wrong.
You're always wrong, Matt. That's the secret of this. I have some extra questions for you, Matthew.
Oh, extra questions. I love those.
These are from John. Oh, whatever. From John, these are all around Who Shot Mr. Burns.
Ooh, okay.
I want quick answers on this, all right, Matt? You were lagging last week already.
Yeah, I know.
You got to be quick. Who is it that discovers oil under Springfield Elementary?
Willie.
Correct. Waylon Smithers has drunk a dream of him and Mr. Burns in 1965 as undercover detectives on a hot rod circuit. What is the title of his dream sequence?
Crime Squad?
Speedway Squad in color. What is the name of Mr. Burns' oil company?
The Slant Drilling Company.
Correct. When the people of Springfield take down Mr. Burns' sunblocking machine, what does the device crush?
The hospital?
Shelbyville. Bonnie Burns walks into his office to find Homer spray painting what on the wall?
My name is Homer Simpson.
I am Homer Simpson.
I am
Homer. Who does Waylon Smithers shoot?
Jasper Beardley.
Correct. As Mr. Burns reveals his device to black out the sun, Krusty returns from a 6-week vacation from where?
Acapulco?
Reno, what are Mr. Burns' first words upon waking from his coma?
Homer Simpson.
Correct. When the people of Springfield begin confronting Mr. Burns at the town hall, who announces, "I'd like to hear from Sideshow Mel"?
Apu?
Ned Flanders.
Ah.
Finally, who shot Mr. Burns?
I believe the canonical response is Maggie Simpson.
That is correct. Maggie did shoot Mr. Burns. And she meant to, too.
Oh, yes, she did. And then she shoots several other people. She's a serial killer in training.
That's what you get for stealing candy. If you guys have any questions you'd like to for me to grill Matt with, or themes you'd like to send our questions around, please send them into any of our social media places, or email, whatever. I'd like to hear from them. I'd like to see them. Again, if you're going to send in a theme, please do not give us many questions in that theme, because we also have to use the same area to get questions from. It is time for our final segment. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This one is a classic, great episode, Matt. Yeah. My immediate thought goes to Mr. Plow. Is it better than Mr. Plow?
Oh, that is a tough one. On the strength of the Mr. Plow song alone, I'm going to say no, but just barely. I think it is better than Homer the Heretic, especially after eating moon waffles. But I think Mr. Plow just edges it out.
Do you think Mr. Plow is better than Deep Space?
I do. I feel like it's got that classic Homer focus. It doesn't have all the weird NASA stuff, which was funny but kind of odd. And then Homer's Mr. Plow theme song. It's the budget commercial. It's just all around great. There is, neither episode has a B story to kind of detract from the main action. But I think Mr. Plow is just a hair better.
It's not what I expected from you, Matt.
Really?
I was expecting NASA to win you over, put it over the top.
See, I'm expecting you to say Mr. Plow is definitely better, because this episode is the side of your great shame of not remembering Barney's little poem.
I feel no shame.
Okay.
About that, Matt. Mr. Plow. I'm deciding if I want to argue about this or not. Mr. Plow is really great, but name again is Mr. Plow. I think they're so similar.
Yeah, they really are. Homer gets involved in something random because of something stupid he did, and then he makes it work for a little while, and eventually is defeated.
I think he has moral victories in the end of both of them. Do you feel strongly about that, Matt?
Not super strongly. I could be convinced if you got good reasons.
I don't know. Deep Space Homer has. I don't know. They're both so memorable, so smart.
So much stuff that everyone remembers, despite the fact that they may not be, crazy Simpsons fans like we are.
Yeah. I think I'll agree with you and go Mr. Plow by a hair.
By just the hairiest of hairs.
I don't know. I think when I'm looking at them both, I think Mr. Plow has a little bit more character. Like, you get a little bit more, like, Holmesy. It feels like, it's more like this, like you see the family and they're, this is very much Homer-centric and Homer in space, and it's a lot of NASA jokes, which are funny, but I think Mr. Plow better embodies the Simpsons as a whole.
True, I feel like also Homer has a slightly better arc in Mr. Plow. He screws up, he makes something of himself, and goes back down, and I feel like Deep Space Homer kind of has that, but Homer generally wins through dumb luck rather than hard work like he does with Mr. Plow, so...
That's true, I think. But they're very close together, and they're obviously very similar, but that's why I immediately went there. I think Homer the Heretic, they're so close together. I think you're right, and you say Homer's probably better than Homer the Heretic, but I don't know, I think I like Homer the Heretic more.
Yeah.
But I like a lot of episodes more than where we've ranked them, honestly. We try and put aside nostalgia on this. We try and be, because if we didn't, I would have like separate vocations way higher in this list.
And I would have Isle of Lisa way higher in this list.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, that would put Deep Space Homer at number 9. Still top 10. Very good. That top 10 is a killer top 10.
Hey, if you ever want to show somebody The Simpsons, show them those 10 episodes.
Yeah, frankly, it's not necessarily a bad idea. But number 1 is still Cape Fear with 95. Homer's Odyssey, last place. Won't stay there, I promise.
No.
It won't. That 90s show, I put it below Homer's Odyssey.
Really hate that episode.
I'm not going to say hate. I feel like hate is the wrong word.
Disappointed in it.
Yeah, exactly. Join our Patreon. You can read all the reasons. I'm not going to go through them here. You can read all the reasons I was really disappointed. But you can find this list at our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find everything there, links to new episodes, downloadable and streaming, links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, if you'd like to listen to us through there, links to our Patreon, if you want to help us out, we'd of course appreciate that, and this list broken down by season, and maybe we might, I'm thinking more and more as we get closer, I think we're probably going to break out Treehouse of Horrors into their own separate list. When we get to the next one, we'll have a sit down and through every segment and rank them. Because it's, as we get more and more of them, it is increasingly less sense to include them with normal episodes. What is our next episode, Matt?
Let's see. Let's check the list. It closed for some reason. Do you have it open? Because I don't.
It is Homer Loves Flanders.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Nacho Man.
Definitely gonna Stan Winston, I think was something
Stan
like that.
The boy, Stan Taylor. The boy, yeah, Stan the boy Taylor. Homer Loves Flanders, another classic. I don't know. Is it? It's not the first Homer and Flanders episode, but it's an interesting one. I think it's. What do you consider the first Flanders episode, Matt?
The first Flanders episode?
Yeah. Do you consider what is it? I can't get any of it.
Dead Putting Society is the first one where he's featured prominently.
Yeah. I mean, like, when Flanders failed, do you consider that a Flanders episode or is that a Homer episode?
I would say I would say it's a Homer focused episode with a, you know, heavy dose of Flanders.
Right. I think this may be our first true Flanders episode.
Yeah, where he plays an equally important part to Homer.
Yeah. But we'll talk about it. Talk about it next week. I think that'll wrap us up. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. It's MixMasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon subscriber. You will not find him.
Or if you can control the weather and get rid of all this damn rain, that'd be nice too.
That really didn't meet the kind of the template for your
stingers.
No,
it didn't.
Matt?
But I'm expanding. But if you can get rid of the rain, I will take it as a sign that I should
Rid of rain.
Just for the next couple of days, you know. I'll take it as a sign, and I'll hop on Facebook and talk to people. Maybe.
But with that, we can call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.